The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I want every gun we have to fire on that man. Do it.
Think you got him.
Now, if we're ready to get moving, we can finish this.
Sir?
I told you we were going to have some fun at some point this week. There you go. A Star Wars parody. I couldn't tell you which installment that is from the Star Wars series. There have been too many. But there you go. Obama versus Trump. The Antiochus versus Jeroboam. Jesse put his creative cap on this week to produce that beauty. Can you believe he gets paid for these kinds of assignments? There you go. Some fun as we enter into another program, another Trumpet Daily. We've had a little trouble with our Rumble stream. Hopefully everything's off and running. If not, you'll have to catch the Star Wars clip later this week or later today as we post this program at one of our websites, TrumpetDaily.com, or you can go to the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots and lots to get to on today's show, of course. The regime media in lockstep yesterday with Tim Walz. I mean, he's just an ordinary Midwesterner. He's just like you. He wants fourth grade boys to have access to tampons at school. But other than that, and a few other things, he's just like you. We'll get to the Tim Walz story since that's all the regime is talking about. All of these, really, all of these distractions. If I can make a serious point about the parody that you just saw there. I mean, God intervened to miraculously save Donald Trump just a few weeks ago. We're not even a month beyond an assassination attempt on President Donald Trump. And we're supposed to, I guess we're just supposed to move right along. Think of it. I mean, the point we've made is that this miraculous event was caught on live television. Everybody's able to see it. We saw it a lot in those first couple of days, but now it's not even talked about. A miracle from God. And what kind of change has this brought on? I mean, leaving aside the regime, the radical left, the communist infiltration, but just even as a nation, has it changed us for the better? Has it made us more reflective? Has it made us ponder the deep things of God, Selah? I don't think so. What a dramatic endorsement, though, of the one coming in the spirit of Jeroboam. God tilting the head ever so slightly. A gust of wind at the right time. Yeah, the distraction, getting away from the prompter so that he would turn the head. The discussion about the graphic on illegal immigration off to the side. You have to know, if you know anything about Revelation 12, Satan is filled with wrath. He is filled with rage. He's the father of murder. He was the one behind what happened on July 13th. And so think about how angry he must have been coming away from that, knowing that God reached down and intervened, that God wouldn't let it happen. And so since that time, I mean, we have just been bombarded with distractions. Imagine that. Yeah, Kamala comes along. She's the second coming of Obama. She's ahead in the polls. Yeah, I mean, she's perfectly cut out for this. She's super duper popular. Look at the crowds that she's drawing. And then along comes Walz yesterday. We touched on this on the program. There's a lot more to get to today. One distraction after another. That's exactly when God intervenes as miraculously as he does. You know what Satan wants right away? He wants a masterful distraction. He loves changing the subject. He loves getting our minds off of what's really important. The details surrounding the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, that's probably going to go down as one of the most significant and at the same time, one of the worst moments in American history. It's not like there haven't been assassination attempts before, even with respect to presidents. But, you know, in the case of Lincoln, you've got this handful of conspirators. And then the assassination is carried out. I mean, there's still, with respect to JFK, there's still details about that we don't know because the federal government continues to cover it up. But most likely, there was some Soviet involvement and at least the CIA, turning a blind eye to what was happening there. But think about July 13th. Again, it's captured on television. The Trump assassination, I mean, it's different than all of them because in this case, it was carried out by the American government itself. That's right. The government of the United States, the deep state, Obama's deep state, targeting the political opponent, the political opposition, Glenn Greenwald. He tweeted this out. So the person who came very close to blowing Trump's head off was just some wayward 20-year-old with no political views or online footprint. And it almost happened because of absurd errors by the Secret Service. And now we're done with that story for the next two decades or so. Glenn Greenwald is no conservative. I mean, he makes more sense than most liberals. But politically, he leans to the left. He says, you mean we're supposed to just walk on from this story? This assassination attempt? This 20-year-old? We've had 3.5 weeks to look into his life, his background, his footprint, and we can't find anything. Listen to Nancy Pelosi. This was yesterday as she was talking about, that crazy homosexual pervert that went after her husband back in 2022. She knows everything that she needs to know about what could have possibly motivated that attack. But notice what she says with respect to the attack on Trump. Clip two.
That was a terrible threshold to cross, that someone would enter our home and violently, well, looking for me. So yeah. I have my level of guilt in terms of all of this because he was looking for me, found my, where's Nancy, echoing January 6th, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy when they're going through the Capitol? Well, I will tell you, my situation didn't happen that day. It happened years of the Republicans demonizing me, and some of them on this network demonizing me. And so it created an atmosphere where that would be acceptable. So we can't have that. We have to take that out of the picture. I was so saddened when the assault on the president. We don't know the motivation. We don't know the person. What happened in our house was directly related to the politics of the day.
The shooter on Trump. We don't know the motivation. We don't even know the person, she says. Nancy Pelosi. We don't even know the person. In my case, however, I mean, it was obviously politically motivated. No, there was a lot of perverted details that were very quickly covered up with respect to her husband, who knew the perpetrator. Let him into the house. Went crazy. Started smashing Mr. Pelosi's head with a hammer. I mean, that's a sad and tragic event. But she knows, you see. She's got the regime media on her side. They're not going to be any more curious about Crooks and his background and who he is than they were about the Las Vegas shooter, because he shot up a country music festival. That's a Trump demographic. So obviously it's not politically motivated. It never can be with these people. These people are pro-violence. The dirty little secret about Tim Walz is he's pro-rioter for 4 days. He let Minneapolis, the biggest city in his state, he's responsible. He's the governor. Minneapolis just goes up in flames. We played you some of the clips. That older black woman, her Target or Walmart went up in flames across the street. She had no transportation. This was how she did her shopping, basically. And there she was, crying. What am I going to do now? How am I going to get groceries? Well, Tim Walz didn't really care. Held back the National Guard for several days, even with people pleading for him to take some action. But he went AWOL, just like he did when he was in the National Guard. As soon as they were deployed, he's like, I've had enough. I'm going to get into politics. People remember this. You just scratch a little bit beneath the surface and you see what, as Jesse Waters said last night, you see what kind of a freak this vice presidential candidate really and truly is. Shows you how much they're afraid of J.D. Vance. Remember what we heard when Trump appointed Vance? Everyone, Schumer calling on Trump, you've got to get someone else. He's not acceptable. That was a huge mistake. You know it was the right pick when Chuck Schumer says it was a huge mistake. J.D. Vance actually is a real Midwesterner. He actually did come from humble roots. And as I said yesterday, he became a self-made success. And he actually was deployed with the U.S. military. Went and fought for his country. Became a success at Yale. Pretty amazing story. So now here come the Democrats, the frauds, trying to get their version of J.D. Vance, saying that J.D. Vance is the fraud. And what we have now in Tim Walz, you know, the one that stepped aside and said, hey, just let Minneapolis burn. The ones that, you know, he put tampons in the fourth grade boys' restroom. No big deal. He wants you to be able to get surgery, transgender surgery, without your parents' approval. That's how crazy and radical this guy is. And it's sickening in the stomach to hear more hoaxes, just like that Steve Miller clip we played yesterday, more hoaxes, false narratives, as they try to make Tim Walz out to be somebody he is absolutely not. Same with Kamala. Maybe, Sam suggested this, maybe Kamala went and got someone even farther to the left than she is, so that she looks ever so slightly more moderate, I suppose. Maybe that could be. Obama intervening to handpick this guy after the Bidens evidently stuck it to him, endorsing Kamala right away. Obama didn't endorse he couldn't endorse Kamala for 5 days. He wanted it to be settled at the convention. But Biden forced his hand. And then here comes Obama, the dear leader. He's given his hearty endorsement for Tim Walz. Just after Eric Holder, Obama's wingman, told the Kamala people, Walz is the one. I mean, for the past week, we've been hearing it's Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, which happens to be a pretty critical state in the upcoming presidential election. But for whatever reason, maybe Shapiro writing that paper when he was 20 that was pro-Israel. I mean, you can't do that. If you're going to rise to the top of the Democrat Party, it doesn't matter how young you were at the time. Listen, you've got to appeal to the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. You've got to reach out to the Muslims in Michigan. Well, even in Minnesota, although Minnesota is pretty reliably blue. But still, the radicals have control of the Democrat Party. And, you know, maybe that leak last week, I forget that political ad that went out and basically said Josh Shapiro's the one. And maybe that gave the radical donors in the Democrat Party enough time to tell Kamala and company, no, we don't want someone who's maybe more moderate like Josh Shapiro. We want a radical. I mean, the mask is off, as I covered earlier this week. Their true intention, they are saying the quiet part out loud. That's right. Jesse Waters suggested that maybe they're throwing in the towel. He's not going to take it as far as my father says in the latest trumpet that's coming out. They want civil war. Jamie Raskin is all but asking for it. Directly. Well, some would say that clip from February is a direct appeal to the foot soldiers to take to the streets sometime around inauguration. Maybe some of them are already accepting the fact that Trump's going to win. But be assured, the wheels are in motion for the steal. They're going to be cheating on a mass scale again. Somehow, some way. They just got to make it plausible. But coming back to this assassination attempt, I mean, when have you ever seen something so significant, earth-shaking, miraculous, just kind of covered up after a couple weeks and we move on? I mean, even in Congress, are there any other hearings planned? What about all of these people, the supervisor from the Pittsburgh office, or the shooters, the counter snipers on the roof? Is it just a few errors by Secret Service, and then the 20-year-old, we don't know anything about him, never will, no motivation? It's certainly not politically motivated. Who in their right mind could look at what happened on July 13th and conclude that it's not really politically motivated, I guess? It's just totally random. They nearly blew off Donald Trump's head on live television. But Tim Walz, that is the story. This was from ABC News. A Pakistani national with purported ties to Iran was arrested last month on charges he plotted to assassinate former President Donald Trump. I think Julie Kelly's calling some of this into question. There's always some kind of nefarious motive up Merrick Garland's sleeve. As now, I mean, it sounds so tough. Yeah, we intervened. We protected Trump. There was an assassin. Well, if this is true, then why didn't that Roe fella, why didn't he beef up security? Because there's evidence, there's whistleblowers saying that he handcuffed Donald Trump in his security detail. He denied their requests, their repeated requests. Even as the DOJ is making arrests on assassins trying to take out Trump. It was an inside job. It was an inside job. And like Glenn Greenwald says, are we just going to move on now and not discuss it for another 2 decades? Really? Is this going to be like the Kennedy assassination, where all of the government documents, all of the investigation by the FBI, all of the evidence turned up, is just going to be covered up for decade after decade after decade? It's a timeline of miracles, really. I gave a message on that a few weeks back. God intervening to save, well, first Donald Trump, and then to save America. What a powerful demonstration of God's miraculous involvement in the affairs of mankind, in the affairs of this nation, the United States. Kamala's VP pick, I mean, just looking at it on the surface, very confusing. Is this, I mean, it didn't really make any more sense than it did for Joe Biden. And that would be, of course, the dear leader behind the scenes in 2020, picking Kamala, the most unpopular Democrat nominee, or she wasn't the nominee. She was running for it. And she had to bow out before Iowa. So the fake leader, the fake president, he picks an unpopular VP back in 2020. And here this happens again. Never mind. It shows you just, I'll play the montage in a second, but it shows you just how disingenuous these talking heads are. They didn't even know who Tim Walz was 3 days ago. I didn't know much about him, except that Minnesota's going deep dark blue with its leadership for sure. But then they just, once they get the go-ahead, the dear leader says, yeah, it's Tim Walz. He's the one. He's been selected. Then they all jump on board. And they say, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a rally or attended a rally with this much energy, with this much electricity. Donald Trump's probably had 100 of those, probably more. If you go back to 2016, 2020, and how in the world could Kamala's people, for someone who's so radical, so left-wing, so Marxist in his thinking, how could you then stage another scripted, videotaped phone call as cringeworthy as the last one was? Here she goes again, clip one.
Hi, this is Tim.
It's Kamala Harris. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Madam Vice President.
Listen, I want you to do this with me. Let's do this together. Would you be my running mate and let's get this thing on the road?
I would be honored, Madam Vice President.
The joy that you're bringing back to the country, the enthusiasm that's out there, it would be a privilege to take this with you across the country.
Well, let me tell you, I have just the utmost respect for you. I have really enjoyed our work together. You understand our country. You have dedicated yourself to our country in so many different and beautiful ways, and we're going to do this. We're going to win, and we're going to unify our country and remind everyone that we are fighting for the future for everyone.
No press conferences, no interviews to speak of, but thankfully we get the phone calls. These scripted phone calls, so fake. It's perfect, really. We did it, Joe. We did it. You're president. So scripted, so fake, so phony. And they keep churning it out. Nobody's saying, evidently, nobody's saying, you know, we need something more natural, more authentic if we can. We've tried this before, and people mock us on social media. But here it comes again. Hi, this is Tim. It's just funny. It's so funny. And it's also pretty sad. These, though, are not choices that you make. If you're really trying to win against Donald Trump fair and square, if you know how crucial Pennsylvania is to the mix, then you go with Josh Shapiro. You go with, if the Democrats have such a deep bench, you get someone who has had a little more star power than Tim Walz. Tim Walz is a radical. He looks a lot like Joe Biden in many ways. And yeah, look at what he's done to the state of Minnesota. Look at what he did during, I mean, he was there letting the city go up in flames, and Kamala was there to bail out the rioters. How about that? And then you have Nancy Pelosi talking about, yeah, the attack on my husband was politically motivated. They were looking for me, just like they were on January 6th. They're still on January 6th. Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Said the protesters who had no weapons, no guns, nothing. The assassin on July 13th had a weapon. He had a rifle. Yet we rarely hear about the weapon even, the bullets, the casings. You had Chris Wray himself suggesting that it could have been shrapnel. It could have been glass that cut President Trump's ear. That's the director of the FBI. And then a lower level guy had to come forward with his testimony to set the record straight. Chris Wray doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course we know it was a bullet. Glenn Greenwald, if he can ask the questions, I think we can. You mean he was some no-name 20-year-old? No political motivation, no social media footprint, and now we're supposed to just walk on from the story and never talk about it again? Not so fast. You know, if you go to the website, our website, thetrumpet.com, I wrote them down, there's an article up there. It's at the top. Are the feds hiding the fact that Crooks was a left-wing radical? Yes, they are. Do you know why they're hiding it? Because that's what they do with these violent left-wing criminals. They want them out of jail. They're emptying the jails in Venezuela and sending them up here. They're emptying jails in New York, in Chicago, in Minneapolis. If it's a left-wing criminal, that's so much the better. Put him back on the streets. My trumpet brief last night, the assassination cover-up, that too is at the front page of thetrumpet.com. So we're not letting it go. Maybe Glenn Greenwald needs to follow the trumpet because we're right on that story. We're still on that story. This is truly remarkable. I mean, in many ways, it reveals God's will. It backs the sure word of prophecy that we've been talking to you about for years. And then what a powerful demonstration of God's hand, God's involvement, as I said. It's sad, though, that there's not more people that are at least looking at themselves and saying, you know, what does this mean for us as a nation? What does it mean for me individually? Why would God do something like that? People don't go deep enough in their thinking. They acknowledge it was a miracle, and then we carry on. Start talking about Kamala and Tim Walz. And the election's super close now. And there's energy on both sides. There's crowds for Kamala. A lot of distractions that I'm sure, so many of them I'm sure are orchestrated by the devil. He doesn't want you meditating on God's miraculous intervention on July 13th. So here comes the regime, and again, you look at this montage and you see just how disingenuous they are. You see just how shallow they are. You see just how monolithic they are. I mean, they all march to the same orders. They all have the same talking points. Clip 8.
I mean, the Trump dance ticket is just incredibly dark, negative about the country. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz know how to engage with people, to laugh with them, to smile with them. And, you know, the Trump dance is kind of a sinister, dark visual presentation.
You know it. You feel it. These guys are creepy. And yes, just weird as hell. That's what you see.
You have hope, optimism and joy versus the promise of retribution. Anger, bitterness, division.
This is old and sorry and pathetic and boring and doom and gloom versus young and exciting and fresh and new. She's giving people hope. She picks somebody who looks, does not look like her, ain't from where she's from, and they fit together like Legos. It is an unbelievable feeling that's sweeping through the country, and Donald Trump is scared, and he should be.
I think Tim Walz is grounded and really plain spoken in a way that I think Kamala Harris appreciates. And that authenticity, you can't, you know, you can't make that up. And I think they're going to make a great team together. I really do. I think this was a brilliant pick.
They were not scared of Governor Waltz, but they should be. They sure should be, because what you just saw at night was extraordinary. Everybody's like, this guy's amazing because he talks like a normal person.
Watching the coach yesterday and watching the vice president yesterday, it was mesmerizing for those considering voting for the ticket, giving them the power to think that they're participating in something that will put a smile on your face. It's been a long time since any aspect of American politics has put a smile on anyone's face. And these two people yesterday managed to put a smile on the nation's face.
This guy is really a good orator. And what I thought was that it was a reach out to rural voters. You know, he ice fishes, he's a hunter, he does butter carving, which again is not such a popular thing in urban areas. I mean, he's a really a sort of, you know, he is a rural person. And, you know, he went to college on the GI Bill. He was the highest ranking enlisted man. You know, this is a person who is really part of this rural America. He really is kind of a rural American success story.
And he has a military background. I like that he's a Midwesterner, especially the Republican candidates, you know, the Republican VP candidate, who's also a Midwesterner. Tim Walz seems like he really embodies Midwestern values.
He may have a very progressive governing record, but he reads moderate and he talks like a regular person rather than a politician, which the white rural vote that Democrats have been shedding. And Tim Walz can come in and he will speak their language. He may not have the policies, you know, that might align, but he will speak their language. And then he looked ready for the moment. But that was the kind of energy you usually see in late October, not early August. This enthusiasm is not speculative. It's real. It's there.
The vibe of winning. It is momentum, pure and simple. Vice President Kamala Harris isn't flawless. I don't think she would say she's flawless. She is running a flawless campaign. She has not made one single mistake.
Okay, got it. Fair and balanced. Not one single mistake. You read between the lines of that one guy. His policies, his view, his worldview, it may not align with the ordinary people, but, you know, he sounds moderate. I mean, that's just kind of a wordy way of saying he's a fake. He's a fake, and they're going to do their level best to lie to you. To tell you he's not a freak. To tell you he's not an extremist. He's just normal. He's just ordinary. He's a Midwesterner. He's rural. He's into butter carving, whatever that is. Butter carving? Seriously? So here comes the new hoax, the new narrative. He's a coach. Yeah, he was in the National Guard before he went AWOL. He comes from the Midwest. He's rural, 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 rural. what a phone. This, we hear this all the time, this sort of thing. You would think these people would finally wake up after one false narrative after another is exposed and say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't come right out and say she's not made one single mistake. Everything's perfect. You know what it is when they say everything's perfect? That means there are dumpster fires all around. Not everyone. Usually they do, but there have been a few dissenters within the regime media. This from the Washington Post. My fears about Harris are that she is incredibly bad at public speaking and that she reliably makes bad political decisions. So far, she has done nothing to allay either fear. I'm not saying she can't win, but I wish she gave me more confidence. There's some brutal honesty coming from the Washington Post. A professor and podcaster, Damon Linker, he said, rather than pick the very popular governor of a neck-and-neck must-win purple state, that would be Pennsylvania, Harris chose a dime-a-dozen blue state governor who gives feels to progressives. He is a progressive through and through. He is a Marxist in every respect. CNN, Chris Saliza, such a weird choice. It feels like 2019. The VP doesn't matter a ton, but I think this reflects very poorly on her decision-making. That was posted at X. And yeah, for the most part, I mean, they were all very excited about Tim Walz. He's the one that got the weird narrative going last week. You know, Donald Trump is weird. Here he was on with the Morning Joe people, or I think they had clips of him. His attempt to take down Trump. I mean, he's going to go after Trump. He's going to go after J.D. Vance. Clip 3.
Donald Trump sees the world a little differently than us. First of all, he doesn't know the first thing about service. He doesn't have time for it because he's too busy serving himself. Again and again and again, Trump weakens our economy to strengthen his own hand. He mocks our laws. He sows chaos and division. And that's to say nothing of his record as president. He froze in the face of the COVID crisis. He drove our economy into the ground. And make no mistake, violent crime was up under Donald Trump. That's not even counting the crimes he committed.
There you go. Notice if you put that together with the montage we just played for you, I mean, they talk as if a new day is dawning, but these are the people that have been in power for the past 3.5 years. Trump's just been a private citizen down at Mar-a-Lago. He was president for 4 years, but I mean, that ended at the end of 2020. And what have these people done since? Trump's ruining the economy? I don't think so. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around on both sides. Vox says, Walz's selection came as something of a surprise. For much of last week, betting markets had given Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro a more than 60% chance. On Tuesday morning, some close to the Trump campaign told CNN that they were breathing a sigh of relief that the Democrat nominee had not tapped the popular Pennsylvania governor. The Trump camp is delighted. Trump, I think he sent out a message on Truth Social saying, thank you! Thank you! He came out with the Tim Walz ad in about 2 seconds. He's a radical. He's an extremist. He's a Marxist. He's upending the institution of family. He's pro-perversion. He's pro-violence. As long as it's coming from Antifa and BLM, he is all for it. Their voices need to be heard. Even if the mostly peaceful demonstration results in Minneapolis going up in flames for 4 days. 4 days! Listen to Jesse Waters. He thought he had a pretty good takedown, Walz did, of Donald Trump. I think this takedown's a little bit better. This is Jesse Waters on Fox News last night. Clip 5.
Kamala Harris announced her VP pick today, and this ticket's so liberal, it's like they're trying to lose. This was Kamala's first major decision, and she choked. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro was the front runner, but sources say he was too Jewish for the Hamas wing of the party. What kind of Midwestern dad with Midwestern values lets a city burn to a crisp and then lets crooked donors swoop in and buy up the real estate on the cheap? Walz signed a bill that removes a child from their parents' home if the parents don't want to castrate them. He's sick. Walz forced schools to stock tampons in boys' bathrooms. Tampons in fourth grade boys' bathrooms. What a freak. Minnesota lockdowns were worse than California's. Not only did he keep schools and churches locked down, but he set up a hotline so your neighbors could snitch on you for leaving your house without a mask. He probably learned this from China, where he visited 30 times. Walt served in the National Guard until his unit was deployed to Iraq, and then he abandoned them.
Back in 2005, a warning order went out to the 1st Battalion, 125th Field Artillery, to mobilize for a mission to Iraq. At the time, Walls served as the unit's highest non-commissioned officer. But months later, Walls would retire from the Guard, avoid the deployment, and run for Congress.
When soldiers, police, and families needed Walls the most, he walked away. But there's something else going on here. Obama didn't want Kamala. He wanted an open convention. But Biden endorsed her before Barack could make a move. So Barack put Eric Holder, his wingman, in charge of Kamala's VP vetting. And Holder just served up Walz, creating the craziest ticket in history.
Obama, he still has his hands on those levers of power. And we know, like I read to you yesterday, I mean, God is going to empower Trump and his supporters. And Obama's influence is going to be diminished. And it's already happening. You can see there just with the division over Kamala. But Obama got his wish. He put his wingman in charge of vetting the possibilities. And Eric Holder comes out with Tim Walz, the most radical of all of those choices that were being considered. Listen to this from, I think it's MSNBC again, saying that this has Obama's fingerprints all over it. Clip six.
Vice President Harris is the person who had to make the decision. This was her decision to make. She took recommendations, if you will. There was a selection committee that also helped and did a number of these interviews, and then they gave recommendations to the vice president. We know former Attorney General Eric Holder, his team went through the vetting, and so she got a full briefing on what it is that they found, where she could ask her own questions, and then obviously had a sit-down interview with with the candidates. And then eventually made her own decision.
Eric Holder, he makes another appearance. But it's going to be a pretty bad ticket. And the other thing that I could have noted, too, after going through that montage, is just how stupid they think ordinary Americans are. He's a radical, but, he speaks the moderate language. And we think that's going to really resonate with Midwesterners. We think that the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the farmers of the Midwest, they're so stupid that they won't be able to see through all of this fakery and phoniness. It's going to make for a pretty interesting 90-plus days, these next 3 months. Newsweek, regarding his service in the National Guard, Tim Walz, that is. In the coming days and weeks, you'll hear a lot about Tim Walz. You'll hear about his leadership, you'll hear about his time in office, and you'll hear about his military service. This is at Newsweek, keep in mind. But here's the truth. You won't hear from the mainstream media. Tim Walz abandoned his men before a combat deployment, and he abandoned his city when it was literally on fire. I mean, this is well known. this is what they're gonna try to sweep it under the cover. They're gonna try to distract you with lies and deception. It stands in stark contrast to J.D. Vance's record of service. Here's the truth, it says. He indeed spent 24 years as an enlisted soldier in the Minnesota National Guard. As far as I can tell, he deployed once to Italy and once to Norway. But when it was finally his turn to deploy in the actual global war on terror, Walz instead chose his own aspirations over leadership. In a letter posted on Facebook in 2018, veterans from his unit said Walz retired from the National Guard after learning his battalion would be deployed to Iraq, though he assured his troops he would join them. He was like, I forget the name of the office, but he was like the lead guy, told his troops, I'll be with you. Walz would have been the battalion command, here you go, the battalion command sergeant major, the highest ranking non-commissioned officer and arguably the most important leader in his unit. I mean, we're talking about leadership, right? He's just like you. He's an ordinary Midwesterner. He's rural. He likes hunting. He used to be a high school coach. What's not to love here? Well, when push comes to shove, he takes off. He turns a blind eye to Minneapolis going up in flames. Not his wife. I mean, she opened the windows and wanted to kind of smell the smoke. Yeah, this is really nice. This is the smell of protests that are righteous. I even saw a report where his daughter coordinated with some of the rioters during that summer of love, saying that, yeah, my dad tells me he's not going to deploy the National Guard, so have at it. What a family. They're just ordinary. They're Midwestern. They're rural. This isn't a leader, it says at Newsweek. This is a man who uses others to further his own ambitions, then discards them when they become inconvenient. He abandoned his men and left the military before completing the school necessary to become a command sergeant major, though this hasn't stopped him from using the title on the Minnesota government site in his bio. See, he loves the titles. He can sound like a moderate. I mean, this is everything you want in a politician, right? Someone who's there, I mean, trying to pad the resume and talk like he's just right the in the middle of the road. It says here, to me, a combat veteran, this kind of abdication of leadership is unforgivable. It says here, but this wasn't the only failure of leadership. He did the same thing when it came to the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots. After allowing the largest city, listen to this, this is just a few years ago, after allowing the largest city in his state to be overrun by violent protesters who burned entire districts to the ground, including a police precinct. Walz scoffed at the mayor's request for National Guard support, referring to the Minnesota National Guard as a bunch of 19-year-old cooks. Can't send in the National Guard. We can't actually protect our streets. We can't actually save Minneapolis. It says here, Walz isn't a leader. He's a progressive. Leadership is decisive and accountable. Walz cuts and runs and then lies and hides. I mean, if you think about it, he's really the perfect man for the job when looking at it from the Dear Leader's perspective. He can control Walz just like he wants to control Kamala, just like he wanted to control Biden. Perfect man for the job. Perfect man to keep the borders wide open, to keep inviting in Obama's foot soldiers, and then give them driver's licenses so that they can then register to vote. Simple as that. He's on board with the invasion at the southern border. And these stories, as I keep telling you, you see them every year. A lot of it comes from local media, not so much the national, you know, regime media. But every day, I think I said year, I meant every day, you're seeing this playing out on the streets of America. This one here, news bit says the Texas Department of Public Safety has captured another fugitive from Texas's 10 most wanted criminal illegal immigrants list. Fabian Martinez, 25, a criminal illegal immigrant from Mexico, was wanted out of Travis County for aggravated sexual assault of a child and possession of a controlled substance. It says Martinez was arrested and convicted of entry without inspection in April of 2018 and was subsequently removed from the United States. It's astounding how many of these cases relate that they were caught, they were deported, but they came back. I mean, they just get another chance after another chance after another chance to commit violent criminal acts. It says in October 2023, he was arrested by the Manor Police Department for resisting arrest and possession of a controlled substance and bonded out of jail. In January 2024, the Austin Police Department issued a warrant for his arrest for aggravated sexual assault of a child. Long list of crimes. In and out of jail, in and out of the country, just keeps coming back, committing more crimes. It says here in 2024, DPS and other agencies have arrested 28 Texas 10 most wanted fugitives, sex offenders, and criminal illegal immigrants, including 10 sex offenders, 9 gang members, and 3 criminal illegal immigrants. You listen to the regime, though, as they go on and on about how great Tim Walz is, and they will, in the same breath, tell you this isn't happening. It's so rare. Actually, the immigrants, they commit fewer crimes than ordinary Americans. You know, the ones that love Tim Walz, because he's rural. I think this report comes from somewhere in the Northwest. Maybe it's on the video clip 14.
According to court papers, back on July 27th, the victim was driving around with a passenger when he got a call from Adrian Martinez, the suspect. Martinez wanted to meet up, so they pulled into a parking lot at an apartment complex. The passenger told police the victim and Martinez were talking, and as they walked away, he heard a gunshot. The court documents explain that Martinez then took off. He was arrested later on. Court documents say that he was extradited to Mexico back in 2016 and was not supposed to be in the United States. Martinez is charged with second-degree murder and unlawful possession of a firearm. Today, a judge set his bail at $2 million.
Here again, extradited in 2016. That was from the Seattle area. Another local channel reporting on these crimes. Murder, in this case. They caught him in 2016, but they just keep coming back. The criminals keep coming back. And we keep letting them in. Who does this to themselves? Die by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln once said. And this is what the communist infiltrators want. It's prophesied, this infiltration, this attack. America's under attack. This book, also that brochure, He Was Right, that's the one that has the chapter with Herbert Armstrong going back to the 1940s and 50s, talking about the communist infiltration of America. And then this book brings it right up to date. If you don't have these pieces of literature that we make available to you free of charge, no cost, no obligation, then call our operators today and request them, and we'll send them right out, 1-866-930-3024. We still have the golf highlights on the docket, and we've got a special study at some point where we'll talk about setting the right goal, the first law of success, along with a short movie clip for there. But with only 90 seconds left, let me scroll ahead to some viewer feedback to this show. You can send feedback, by the way, to td@thetrumpet.com. This here says, we just wanted to let you know how much we love the new Trumpet World program. That combined with the Trumpet Daily really gives us a well-rounded picture of what's going on, not only in the U.S., but events that are happening around the world. It says, with the great job that Mr. Palmer is doing, maybe he should be referred to as Sir Richard Palmer. I kind of like that. That's got a. We'll check in with Mr. Palmer and see if he would like for us to add that title, that designation. It says here, watched this Saturday morning and thought it was great. Again, another one commenting on Trumpet World. Mr. Palmer and his guest speakers were so knowledgeable of what's going on in Europe, Asia, and the UK and America. Actually, being able to see those who also contribute so much to the Trumpet magazine, Royal Vision, and Let the Stone Speak means so very much. It says, putting a face to the names of those working in the PCG is enlightening to those of us who watch these programs and read these magazines so that the message can get out to the world to warn us all. It says, finally, God bless Mr. Palmer and others who are working to get the message out to the entire world. As I say, if you'd like to email the show with your feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll have another fast moving show for you tomorrow.